All right. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you, but it's also good to hear you. I enjoy the fellowship sound this morning. It's always good to be able to come into church and see people are enjoying being in church. It's, we're not enduring to the end, or at least I hope we're not. I'm enjoying the ride, so it's good to see you this morning. We do want to welcome you here this morning. It's a good day, first day in a long while, it seems like. We started with 10 o'clock service. We had our Sunday school back this morning. Seems like all the sickness. I told my wife the other day, we ought to be pretty close to herd immunity. As much sickness has been around, we ought to be pretty close to that. So hopefully that's going away, maybe. I don't know. And I think I mentioned it maybe last night, whenever I saw that T-shirt that says, normal's not coming back, but Jesus is. So that's my new saying. And I don't think we'll ever be back to whatever normal was. But it's good just to be able to keep going on for the Lord. And it is good to see you. Do get a bulletin. Just some quick announcements, of course. Do remember all of our services. We'll be back, Lord willing, tonight. Prayer room's at 5:45. Service will be at 6. I hope you'll be here with us. And on Wednesday night, we do have our midweek Bible study, prayer time here to church. So I hope you'll be with us on Wednesday at 7. Don't forget about revival coming up, April the 4th, 5th, and 6th. Brother James Knox will be with us those days. And be some good services, I'm sure. What'll make it better if you'll start praying? What'll be making it better is if you'll just be here and bring somebody with you. So I hope you'll be asking the Lord just to help us through that. My wife is not in here at the moment, but see, ladies, that if you've been doing the writing, verse writing, or if you've not been doing the verse writing, if you hadn't been, see my wife. She still has some of the notebooks and things. But if you are doing it and hadn't got your new papers or whatever, see her. She'll have that stuff for you. And I've heard, you know, she tries to keep the verses down. I really don't know all the ins and outs of it. But listen, if you can't get it all in one time, at least do something. It'll help you. I promise you that. So, ladies, if you're interested in that, you see my wife. That'll be great. And then last of all, we've been praying for Brother Bill's daughter, Ashley, and she's got to come out of the hospital. And she's back at home and still got a hard road ahead. And I do want you to continue to pray for her. She does have liver cancer. I don't know the big name of it, but it's pretty aggressive type cancer. So, again, just pray. But they are doing a fundraiser for her. There's some papers taped up somewhere amongst the, I think they're at the doors maybe. So if you can help support that, please do that. And then on that note also, we're going to take up a love offering. I'll give you a date here soon on that. So you'll be praying about that as well. Just try to be a help there to that family as well. So if you have questions, you can see Brother Bill. I'm sure he'll be able to answer those questions. So, all right, put a big old grin on your face. Can I tell a political joke? You not get offended right off the bat, will you? You know the Olympics are going on, right? Yep. I like bobsledding. And I heard that the American bobsled team has renamed their bobsled Biden. It brings our country down faster than any other thing. So there you go.
All right. Let's all stand up. Grab your hymnal. Turn to number 33. 33. And this is one of those songs that most of us know the chorus, and we haven't sung the verses that often, but it's a good song. Take the name of Jesus with you, and we'll do all four verses, so all the way through. The chorus, precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. So here we go, let's sing it out. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where'er you go. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh, how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Oh, the precious name of Jesus, how it thrills our soul with joy. When His loving arms receive us, and His songs our tongues employ. I can't sing that. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. All right, on the last one, here we go. At the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at His feet. King of kings in heaven will crown Him when our journey is complete. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. All right, now flip over to number 58. Number 58. Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. All who receive Him need never fear. Yes, He will pass. He will pass over you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. So we're going to do 1, 2, and 4. So just first, second, and third. So here we go. Christ, our Redeemer, died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. All who receive Him need never fear. Yes, He will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Chiefest of sinners, Jesus can save. As He has promised, so will He do. Oh, sinner, hear Him, trust in His word. Then He will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. On the last verse, here we go. Oh, what compassion, oh, boundless love. Jesus hath power, Jesus is true. All who believe are safe from the storm. Oh, He will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Amen. All right, you can be seated. You can be seated.
Miss Wendy, if you're singing, if you want to come on this way, fine. Again, appreciate the good songs this morning. And I don't think we get excited enough about the blood, amen. That song goes back there when the children of Israel were coming out of that, Egypt there. And the Lord told them what to do with that blood. And I'm glad that blood, not that blood of a goat or a sheep, but that precious Lamb of God, I'm thankful for what that blood done in my life, and I hope it's done that for you in your life. Just real quickly, again, do go to the bulletin, the prayer requests are in there, of course. Do pray. Pray for our church. Pray for the needs of the church. I heard this morning, I hadn't got to talk to Brother Jerry, but I heard our buses are not doing well. Seems like both of them are dead at the moment. So just pray. Help us pray about what to do with that. And if you'd like to help take care of some of that, let us know. We'll, if you're a mechanic or whatever, see Brother Jerry. We'll put you to work. So if you can help with that in any way, do remember that. Remember the loss, of course. Listen, that's our job. That's what we're supposed to be doing, is reaching the loss. So I hope you'll be mindful of that. Get you some tracks, hand them out, put a smile on your face, and just grin. Tell them Jesus loves them. You'll be amazed what that'll do. Miss Brooks called this morning. Brother Roy's sister passed away last night. She lives up in Thurman, North Carolina. Her name was Hazel Money. And so just pray for that family as they go through the next few days with that. And then also Brother Roy's going to be having some surgery on his eyes this coming Tuesday. So just ask you to pray for them. We already mentioned Brother Bill's daughter, Ashley. Continue to pray for her and the family there. Remember Brother Melvin, Miss Linda, Miss Rose, as they're dealing with that as well. Remember Brother Derek? Has he got when his surgery might be? Okay, going Tuesday to find out. So do pray for Brother Derek. He's going to have some surgery there. So just pray for that. And I'm sure all of us this morning have needs. Aren't you glad that we have a God that we can call upon? And he said if you call, he'll answer, amen. I tell him, Brother Skitsy, Brother Rouse, been praying for him. I told Brother Rouse I tried to call him and didn't get him. And that happens. People call me, don't get me. So this happens. But I'm glad. I've never been put on hold. I was at the doctor the other day, the phones were ringing off the hook, and that lady picked up the phone. Can you hold, please? I don't know why they ask you if you can. Because she didn't even give it time to stop. She didn't push the button. You wasn't talking. But I guess they try to be polite. Can you hold? No, that ain't the fact that you're going to hold. But God's never put me on hold either, amen? God listens and hears and answers prayer, so we're thankful for that. All right, Mr. a Savior. Amen. Aren't you glad this morning if you're saved? You know, not by your works, not by anything you've ever done, but by the gift of God this morning. Because of the blood, because of Him taking your place this morning, we've been adopted into the family of God. So praise His precious name this morning. Amen. All right, take your Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Corinthians. Book of 1 Corinthians this morning. Book of 1 Corinthians. Again, good to see everybody. If you don't have a Bible, we do want to encourage you to bring your Bible, of course. If you don't have a Bible this morning, there should be one in your pew there in the song book rack there. Just grab that and follow along with us this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 this morning. We're going to turn to a few verses this morning. Then we'll get into the message this morning. But we'll use this one verse or these two verses here this morning to get us going. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 this morning. If you found your place, and you can and you would, let's stand out of honor and reverence to the Word of God today. I'm going to read beginning verse number 16 this morning. Now, if you're lost this morning, this doesn't apply to you. Only when you get saved can these things apply to you. If you're here this morning, you're not saved, today would be the best day of your life. Being a church member don't get you to heaven. Being baptized doesn't get you to heaven. Being a good person doesn't get you to heaven. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the door. There's only one door. No matter what the world may say, no matter what so-called educated people of our day might try to tell, there is but one way to heaven. It's not a Baptist way. It's not an American way. It's God's way. And He is very narrow-minded. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting. I hope you know Him this morning. But we that are saved, let's think. If you're not saved, I hope you'll see something this morning that'll want to make you or hear, feel something, not physical feel from me, but maybe the Lord will speak to your heart today about salvation in your life. Let's look at verse number 16 this morning of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Bible asks this question, know ye not that ye are the temple of God. Now, it's not a question if you're saved. If you're saved, you are the temple of God. This body that God has allowed us to have upon this earth, this is your mobile home. This is what you're using to move from place to place. But when you got saved, great things took place. The greatest of all is the Lord moved inside of you. You became two people. You became an old man and a new man. And the Lord here makes this statement, know ye not that ye are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? You know, our life would be, this isn't the way of this message, but again, we could run this way with these verses. You know, just because knowing that our body is the temple of God and knowing that the Spirit of God dwells inside of us, our lives would be so much different than the world's. It ought to stick out. It ought to be, again, not puffed up by it, but there ought to be a difference. And boy, the lines have become so great in these days. But if you're saved this morning, your body is a temple. You are the temple of God. The Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Verse 17, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let's pray. Our Father, we sure love You. Thank You again for Your blessed book. God, thank You for Your Spirit. Thank You, Lord, for God, how You lead and direct. And God, this morning, we just ask You to do it again. God, this morning, would You speak to our hearts, my heart today. God, let us learn from the Word of God today together as we want to just be better, do better, live better for your honor and your glory. For it's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Take your Bibles a couple other places and then we'll get into the message this morning. Look in Psalms chapter 127 with me this morning. Psalms 127. And then also find Matthew chapter 7. Psalms 127 and Matthew chapter 7. Do pray for my voice. I went to the doctor this week and told him I was tired of sounding the way I sound. But that inhaler that the doctors put me on for my lung is, we think, is the culprit. So it just sounds the way it does. It gives out after a while, but just pray for our voice, if you would. Now, the Bible tells us a great truth. We just looked at the fact of what the Bible tells us there in 1 Corinthians about our bodies being the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells within us. Now, verse 1 of Psalms 127, the Bible says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." Now this morning I know that the Bible does say that bodily exercise profiteth little. That is an excuse not to take care of your body. This is the body that God has given us to be the tool that God uses to take the gospel to a lost and dying world. I believe with all my heart you ought to take good care of your body if you can. But when it comes to body, the physical side of it, that is very small compared to the body or the temple that God has built. And the Bible says, except the Lord builds the house, they that labor, labor in vain. You can do everything in your powers. You can do everything in your ability to try to build this body, spiritually and physically, and it'll all be in vain unless the Lord does it. Now look with me over in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Matthew 7, 24. Verse 24 says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." So again, we see in these verses that God tells us that our bodies is the temple of God. That God dwells inside of this temple. And that God tells us, unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor, labor in vain. And the Lord also tells us that we that do what God says will be like a wise man that builds his house upon a rock. Thank God for the rock, amen. It ain't just any rock. It's that rock that went with the children of Israel. It's that rock that God set my feet upon. His name is Jesus. And the Bible tells us a wise man will build his house upon that rock. But a foolish man will build his house upon the sands. And it fell. And it was a great fall. Now, take your Bibles one other place, and this will be where we spend our time this morning. Look over in the book of 1 Chronicles. First Chronicles chapter 28 this morning. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Here we have David talking to the nation of Israel about what he desired to do for the Lord. We know, and we'll read the verses here in just a moment, that David desired to build a house. Unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor in vain. David wanted to build a house for God. And God told David, no. It pays to listen to God. David could have tried to build that house. He had it in his heart. But he listened to God, and God says, you can't build it. But I am going to let your son build it. And we know that Solomon, God allowed to build a great temple for God. Know ye not that your body is the temple of God? We find here in 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Let's read a few verses together this morning. And the Bible says, and David, this is verse 1, assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course, and to the captains over the thousands and captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over all the substances and possessions of the king and of the son of his sons, with officers and with the mighty men and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. Then David, the king, stood up upon his feet and said, hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in my heart to build a house of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and made ready for the building. Verse 3, but God said unto me, thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Howbeit the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler in the house of Judah, the house of my father. And among the sons of my father, he likened me to make me king over all of Israel. And of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said unto Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts. For I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgment as at this day. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, and the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess the good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. Verse 9, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations, the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. So we find here again what God's plan is. And again, God has a plan. We're not just bouncing around this world like a ping pong ball. God has a plan, not just for you and I, but God has a plan for every child of God. He has a plan for this world. But this morning, God shows us again his plan in action. Again, God tells us that we are. If you're saved, you're the temple. What's God getting ready to build here? A temple. God tells us, unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor works in vain. God's going to do something here. And God shows us some things as we go down through here. In verses 2 and 3, God, we see David's desire for building that for others to come. Even, I love how the Bible reads here. David knew that God was not going to allow him to build that house. But even though, you know, he wasn't like most people that I know. Usually when God says no, or mama says no, or daddy says no, or the boss says no, we get our feelings hurt, don't we? Get that poochy lip disease.
We start to walk around like somebody done knocked the wind out of our breast because we ain't getting to do what we want to do. David could have had that thought. David could have had that response. But that's not how David responded to when God said no. But David did do something that I think is a great picture of what I hope that we are doing as we travel upon this old world in our temple. See, God's wanting to build a temple. And here this morning, David says, I'm not going to be able to build it, but I am making plans. He bought and purchased and put everything to place that when God said it was time to build, those things would be there. Now, this isn't the message this morning, but it ought to be a great look at what you and I need to observe in our lives. I know as we get older, we begin to think about things of life maybe a little different. We get to thinking, you know, I'm a little bit closer to the end than I was a year or so ago. Our lives begin to become frailer as we go, and maybe we begin to make preparations. Some of you this morning might have wheels. That's a good thing. But you're making plans to give that to your children so they can fight over it. No, that's not the way it's supposed to work, but that's how it works a lot of times. But, no, you've laid some things in place that can be passed on to your children or your grandchildren physically. But I wonder this morning if we are not able to look down the telescope of Christ, the time of through Christ, and see that you and I, there's things that God has put upon our hearts that maybe God's not ever going to allow me or you to do. But if God put those things there, they're there for a purpose. And God wants us to maybe be laying some things aside, to be working some things that, so when the next person comes on and takes over the work, there's an established place there that they can build upon what's already been built. And that's what David's doing. And then David, as he goes down, he talks about him and how God chose him. Then he talks about how God chose the nation of Israel. But I love the personality of how this thing runs here in 1 Chronicles. Look with me this morning. Verse number 6. And he said unto me, Solomon thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever. If he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as it is this day. Therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord and the audience of God, keep and seek for all my commandments and for the Lord God, that ye may possess the good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. Then verse 9, and thou, Solomon, my son. See how God runs that from David to the nation of Israel to the personal part there to Solomon. And this morning, we could take about building this house as the body of Christ. We could take, and again, I know this is Gospelite Baptist Church. This is a church building. This is a place that God has allowed us to assemble together as brothers and sisters in Christ to work out of this location. But it's not about the walls and the roof and the floor of this place. It's about you and I that make up this body of Christ. And here God's drawn it not just to the whole, but God's drawn it down to the individual. Now, Solomon, this morning, God desires some things for you in your house. I'm not a great builder when it comes to wood. I am a very rough carpenter. I am not a finished carpenter. I can make things come together and build a frame, but when it comes down to the moldings and all that little stuff that you want to look good, that's not me. I can't saw straight. I can't nail straight. It's just me. I ain't that kind of guy. But there's some things as God brings this down to us, as God brings it down to you, just as He did Solomon. There's three things this morning that I believe that we can take from the Scriptures this morning and find how to build this temple. Not this temple, not this building, but you. Your body. You've been purchased. You're not your own. And God wants to do some makeover in your life. But how do you do it? Only you can build upon that part. God can give us the direction. God can give us the guidance. But only you can do what God says to do. When we build our house physically, I know nowadays, and even in those days, you could get somebody to draw your house plans. You could get an architect to draw those plans out, and they go down to the thing, to the level of every little thing. You know how I drew ours? You know how I drew my house plans? I was working third shift, and we were talking about building a house, and one night I was sitting there at the break table, and I took a napkin and sketched my house out. I don't know where that napkin is today. Probably burned up, chewed up, eat up. I don't know, but it ain't around. But that's where the plans for our house came from. And pretty much we built it just like that. But see, God has a plan for your temple and how to build that temple. And you and I ought to desire to want our temple to please God. God tells Solomon here three things, I believe, that will help not only Solomon, but help you and I as we build this house, this temple for God. Look with me in verse number 9 this morning once again. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all imaginations and thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. There's three simple... Hey, I broke my glasses. That's pretty cool. Actually, I've had help. I think Leona decided to twist them around like that, but that's okay. There's three things here this morning. Simple things. And it's just like anything else. When we build our house, we put a lot of money in this thing called a foundation. You know, there's only a few people that's ever saw my foundation. I was there when they dug it. I was there when they poured it. I was there when they laid the blocks on it. But right now, you can't see the foundation of my house. But that foundation is doing all the work. If that foundation was no good, that house would not stand. A wise man builds his house upon a rock. A foolish man will build his house upon the sand. My house physically is built upon a good foundation, I hope. But spiritually, if you're saved, your foundation was not based on a Baptist church or a Baptist preacher or anything else but one thing, and that is our foundation, that rock. But how do you build upon that rock? And here we have, again, I think three things that I believe will help you and I as we try to build this temple that would be pleasing unto the Lord. The very first thing I want us to see, and these things go in order, I had to put a foundation down before I could build my house. I had to put the blocks down, and then I had to put the floor down, and then I had to put the walls up, and then I had to put the roof on, and all that. There's an order. And this morning, if we want to have our temples like God would desire them, there's an order. The very first thing I find here this morning, and again, these play on each other. The very first thing that we find, look at verse number 9, is the latter part. He says, if thou seek him. The very first thing that you and I need to learn to do is to seek the Lord. Now, that word seek isn't in the, you know, I was watching our children the other day, our grandchildren in our house, playing hide and seek. That's great for parents. You count, they go hide, and you sit there and rest for about 5 minutes before you go find them. It's a great game. But they were playing hide and seek. And the Lord tells Solomon here, he says, if thou seek him. Now that does not mean that God is hid. God is not hid. God is very present. God is not running away from you. God is not trying to keep things from you. But the very first thing is you have to seek. The Bible says over there, if you seek, you'll find. That word seek isn't like you're looking for something that's lost. That word seek takes on this thought of that you're actively pursuing. And God tells Solomon, if you seek. And this morning, the world, the devil, is so actively trying to get our minds in different things and our lives tied up in different things that we lose that activeness of truly seeking the Lord. How do you start your day? How do you go through your day? How do you end your day? Are you actively seeking the Lord? And again, if you're not actively seeking, you're not going to grow. You're not going to have a temple that's built the way God wants it to be built. And just real quickly, our time's getting away from us this morning, but again, he says, seek Him to actively pursue. How do you look for God? How do you actively pursue after God? Oh, it's very simple. Number one, when you read your Bible, what are you looking for? Well, I'm looking so I can check that box off that I read that chapter. You'll be amazed. I don't know how many preachers we got in here, but there's times in my life that I've had to stop because I'd be reading my Bible to do what? Find a sermon. That's not the reason I should read my Bible. I should read this Bible because I'm actively wanting to know God and seek after Him. How do you seek God? Through His Word. How do you seek God? Through prayer. When you pray, are you actively wanting to hear from God? Or are you just wanting your tire changed so you can get on down the road? I love talking to God. But I really love when God talks to me. He talks to you? Oh, yes. It comes from seeking Him. How do you seek the Lord? I believe this, what we see here this morning is a way of seeking the Lord. Why are we here? Well, it's Sunday morning. I'm supposed to go to church. Did you come to church just so you can check your boxes of your religious acts and say, I came to church today? Or did you come this morning really desiring to seek God? I hope this morning your heart's intent. Oh, it's great to see my brothers and my sister. It's wonderful to hear the fellowshipping and just seeing one another together. But oh, how more important it would be if we all came in with one mind and one heart and one desire. And that was to see the Lord. You seek God. God tells Solomon here that if thou seek, He will be found. You get in your Bible reading and want to see God, He'll show up. You get in your prayer closets and start talking to the Lord and you really want to seek Him in your prayer life, He'll show up. I've said it before. Some of my best times with the Lord's been going down the road with just me and God. The radio was off. I'm driving down the road talking and praying to God and it just gets really real. And there's been times that you might think I'm silly. You can think whatever you want to. I don't really care. But there's been times when it got so real to me, I felt like if I looked over, He'd be right there. Why? Because I really was seeking Him. I wasn't just gibbering and jabbering. I was wanting God to talk with me and listen to me and talk to me. Do you seek Him in your prayer life? Do you seek Him in our church? I ain't going to ask this because I don't want to throw you into the trap. We all would love to see our church grow, I would hope. Do you know I could probably make our church grow? I could bring in all kinds of this's and that's. But that's not the reason I want you here. Oh, I'm all for the fun things. I'm all for the activity things. But if we ever have things that don't have God involved, we're not doing right. Oh, you can have fun. You can do the activities. But everything ought to be centered around seeking God. So the first thing that God tells Solomon about doing the work here that God's called him to do, he chose him. He's chosen to do this work, is first of all, seek him. Now the second thing that comes out of seeking, it tells us there again. Look in verse number 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father. When you begin to seek God, God will be there. He will not hide from you. He will not run from you. He will not step by you. When you truly are seeking God, God will show up. And the second thing that comes, the second thing that comes out of seeking God is knowing Him. See, we're building. You'll not know God unless you seek God. Paul says that I may know Him. How could we ever know God? I'm asking you a question to think about. The world talks all kinds about gods with an S and a little G. But this morning, church, there is only one true and living God. And that's who I serve. But how would I ever know about Him if I did not seek Him? So God tells Solomon to seek Him and then to know Him. The Bible says over there in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, Jesus tells him, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. See, that picture there of the seasoned ox being yoked up with a young ox. And that young ox not knowing and not knowing all the ins and outs about how and what to do. But is yoked up with an ox that does know. And those, that main ox will show because they're yoked together. Oh, sometimes that young ox probably tries to pull the other way. That young ox might slow down and try to back up. Oh, but that main ox, he knows his job and he knows what to do and he just keeps on doing it. And God tells us, the Lord said, take my yoke. This morning, that's how you get to know Him. You can know so closely. That word know is so much more than a mental knowledge. There's a lot of people that I've come around that mentally, book-mindedly, think they know God. But until I really began to seek God and really got to want to know how God does things and how God wants things, I didn't know Him like I know Him now. Me and my wife dated for 2.5 years, I guess. When I said that, the eyes perked up because she wanted to see if I made it right. I got it right because she grinned and shook her head. We dated 2.5 years. But you know what? I thought I knew a lot about her. We got married and for almost 32 years now, I'm still learning. I don't know everything about her. But I'm seeking to know. I want to know why. Because happy wife, happy life. The Lord told Saul, says, hard for you to kick against the pricks. Fellas, learn. Different story. But that word know is a very intimate word. Not knowing him in your mind, but knowing him in your being. Now, some of y'all have been married longer than I have. Some of you have been married a lot less time than I have. But I've learned. You don't feel the knot? I've learned. No. I've really learned. And she's learned. And I'll be honest, it's amazing how she'll know what I'm talking. And I'm not even talking. She'll know. I'll know what she's thinking. And we don't have to say a word. You know why? Because I've been with her. And I've wanted to know her. And my desire was to find those things. And now, because of that, I have been looking. And now I know. Let me ask you something this morning. God says we're building this here temple. You are the temple of God. Are you building this temple the right way? Are you beginning, first of all, by seeking God? And that's never finished until we get to the heaven. There's always more. When you find out one thing, it ought to spur you into wanting to find out something else. Oh, I've had some great days with God over these years. I've been saved since I was 13 years old. And there's times in my life that I've looked back and, boy, I can just tell you the windows of heaven were open and God was so real and so fresh. I wish that was every day. Oh, there's probably, I'm afraid to say, more days that I didn't know God the way I should know God than the days that I really just knew who God was. This morning, we mentioned that verse about that yoke. Take my yoke upon you. Teresa has a horse. I'm not a horse person. She has a horse. Some horses, I'm afraid her horse is this way, some horses are really stubborn. You tell it to go right and it goes left. You tell it to stop and it speeds up. But then there's, and you that are smarter about horses than I am, when they become, is it rein broke or whatever it is, where you can just basically lay it on their neck? You don't have to jerk that bit in their mouth. You just lay that rein upon its neck and it knows, okay, you're going this way. You lay it on the other side, okay, I'm going that way. It can feel you just squeeze its belly and it knows to stop. You know how that happens? Is that horse learns the rider. When God lays something upon us, are we sensitive enough of knowing Him that He don't have to jerk our rein? That He don't have to pull back hard and kick me or you know, or can He just say, whoa? And I know enough that I know His voice. See, God told Solomon, first of all, you've got to seek me. And then you're going to know me. And then third of all, in closing this morning quickly, you seek, you know, it's automatic. You serve. The more you seek Him, the more you'll know Him. The more you want to serve Him. You know why people don't serve God? They don't know Him. You know why people don't know God? Because they're not seeking God. We need some people that want to say, Lord, as Isaiah did, here am I. We ought to have such a desire. You don't serve because mom and daddy says you're going to serve, boy. You don't serve because the pastor guilts you into doing something. You truly serve God when you have sought Him and you know Him, and because you know Him, you want to do something for Him. This morning, God says we're a temple. God's telling Solomon this morning how to build that temple. You got to seek me. You got to know me. You need to serve me. This morning, how's your serving? Again, we've said it over and over, and it's just our society has brought this in. It amazes me. I'm listening. I'm going through a book right now. It's called Fearless. It's a great book if you ever get a chance. It's about the life of a Navy SEAL. His name was Adam something or another. And was showing how he was a different boy growing up. One of the things that he naturally done was served others. He wasn't caught up in everybody serving him. He would open doors for ladies. He'd pick things up for people that dropped stuff. See, today it amazes me how we've allowed our flesh in this world to get us to the place that the only thing that we think about is us. But when you realize, when you seek the Lord and you know Him, you'll find out all through the New Testament, look into the life of Christ. He never served Himself. He always served others. This morning, if you want a temple that's pleasing unto the Lord, you're going to seek Him, you're going to know Him, and you're going to serve Him. But you'll never serve Him until you know Him. And you'll never know Him until you seek Him. Now, I'm closing. Look at verse number 9. There's a danger by not doing this. Notice verse number 9. Again, it says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve Him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts." That's scary, isn't it? Do you really know why you do what you do? The Lord knows why you do it. He knows your mind better than you. He knows your heart a whole lot better than you. But notice also, if thou seek Him, He will be found of thee. But if thou forsake Him, He will cast thee off forever. To me, there's just something really sad. You ride around, and we live out in the country, and I remember as a boy riding with my grandpa, and we'd be out doing things, and he'd say, "Boy, that farm there, back in its day." You'd see a big old barn, you'd see all that land around about it, and he'd say, "You know, back in its day, that was one of the biggest farms around. But now, it's all grown up. The buildings are falling in." I hate to see that in a house. I hate to see that in a barn. I hate to see that in property. But worse than that, I hate to see it in our body of Christ. Because if you don't seek Him and you don't know Him and you don't serve Him, you're going to fall apart. You're going to get grown up. Covered up. That's the danger. And then last of all, look at verse number 10. We close with this verse. God tells Solomon, says, "Take heed now." That's the invitation. Take heed now. You need to examine your temple. You need to examine how you're building upon that rock. Take heed now. For the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for thee, for the sanctuary. And then notice the last two parts. Be strong and do it. That's what God wants us to do this morning. He wants us to take heed. Be strong. I've been studying through the armor of God on Wednesday night. And the very first thing that we looked at is being strong in the Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong. God says, be strong. And then do it. You know how I built my house? We didn't have the money to just... If I ever get to build another house, which I'm not, my next move is out of here. I'll be in heaven. The Lord's building my next house. We didn't have the luxury of just saying, "This is what we want. Call me when you're done." Well, that'd be nice. Maybe you were able to do that. Not me. Not us. My house was built one nail at a time. A lot of sweat. A lot of tears. ought to work. But it ain't a mansion. But boy, we like it. It's our house. I did it. Well, how'd you do it? One step at a time. Be strong and do it. You're not going to build your temple. You're not going to build that house that God desires by sitting on your can. You're going to have to actively seek Him. You're going to have to actively want to know Him. You're going to have to actively serve Him. You'll be amazed what God can build. Know ye not that you are the temple of God? How's your temple? Need some building? Are you seeking? Are you knowing? Are you serving? Let's stand together this morning. Be strong. Take heed. And do it. Even our house. It's been there now. How old are you, Carrie? So it's been there 25 years. There's been some remodeling over the years. Why? Things got old. Things need to be changed. I'm not saying you're not saved, because if you're not saved, you're not the temple of God. But if you're saved this morning, maybe you've not been taking care of the building. Maybe you need to do some remodel. Maybe there need to be some tearing out and putting back right. It starts by seeking Him. Then you'll know Him. And then you'll serve Him. Their heads bowed and their eyes closed this morning. If you're saved this morning, you ought to want to have a temple that's pleasing unto the Lord. Would you let God examine you today? When I was building my house, I had to call those building inspectors. That never went well. They had one intention, that's coming out and finding something I did wrong. They didn't do it to me, Bean, I hope. They did it because there was something that wasn't just quite right. The psalmist says, examine me, O Lord, and see. This morning, would you let God do some examination in you this morning? Let Him shake the walls a little bit. Let him shut some doors and things and see how your house is doing. If you're seeking Him, He'll be found. If you're seeking Him, you'll know Him. If you know Him, you'll want to serve Him. Some folks have already come around the altar this morning. Listen. He said, take heed this morning. You're never going to get help until you take heed. Maybe you need to slip around the altar this morning and just ask God to help us. Brother Russell, if you will, sing a verse or two as some folks are praying. What about you?
Search
you might be here this morning.
Me,
you're
oh God.
Maybe you've got a form and a fashion.
And
maybe
know
you've
got my heart today.
You built that house upon sand.
Try me.
It might look good. It might look right.
Savior, know my thoughts. I pray.
Here this morning, you're lost. You don't know for sure you'd go to heaven when you die. Don't you want to go?
Some wicked way in me.
That'd be a great day to get saved.
Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. I praise Thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill Thy word and make me pure within. Fill me with fire where once once I burned with shame. Grant my desire to magnify Thy name.
Miss Karen's going to play this a little bit longer. Some folks are to an altar this morning doing business with the Lord. That's what it's about. I hope this morning you really want to find Him. Find out where He's at and what He's doing and how He does it. Seek it. You know, we're working on our temple. Oh, but the Lord says He goes to prepare a place for us. Can you imagine that place? I don't know about you. You can argue if you like. It doesn't really matter to me. Main thing is I'm going to heaven. I hope you are. Talk about those mansions. I don't think that's literal buildings. Why would you need a house? It's always day. But I believe the Lord's got a body prepared for each one of us that's perfect. It's never dealt with sin. And we'll get to praise God like we've never praised Him before. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning. Don't forget, Lord willing, we're going to be back tonight. 5:45 will be prayer room. Service will be at 6 this evening. I hope you'll come on back, see what the Lord has for us tonight. Don't forget about Wednesday night, of course, 7 o'clock on Wednesday. And then, ladies, if you need something to do with the verse writing, come see my wife. She'll be able to help you with that. Don't forget about the fundraiser for Brother Bill's daughter. If you want to be a help that way, we'll be taking up a love offering here soon to do that, so you make preparations for that. Don't forget about revival, April 4th, 5th, and 6th. I hope you'll be praying. So, all right, if anything. All right, again, good to see you. I hope you have a great afternoon. Brother Rick Hildebrand, you pray for us.